Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
All right, welcome to our fourth study on meditation. We have outlines up front. It's the same one we were working on the last time we were together. But if you did not bring that one back, we have one for you right here. All right, and there are some pencils in the pockets of the chairs. But we want to start off with a review, like we do each time. And so the review is, when should we meditate? When should we meditate? Night and day, all right? So we should meditate throughout the day. The psalmist talks about doing that. Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man who does not walk or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There you go. So it should be something that when we have a moment, when our mind is not occupied with the task at hand, that we should find ourselves meditating on God and his word. I heard a man speaking this week who said, we all meditate. The question is, what do we meditate on? I mean, anytime your mind is just churning, when you have some free time, so to speak, whether it's driving down the road and you're not actively engaged in some process that takes all of your mental energies, when you're going to sleep at night, we all are musing and pondering and reflecting on things. Question is, what are we meditating on? Are we meditating on God's Word? All right, we also saw, We also saw that, get them some outlines there, Mark. Yes, we also saw that we should meditate at prescribed times. David talked about meditating in the middle of the night. You remember that? He talked about in the night watches he would meditate. He talked about early in the morning he would meditate. And so we should have prescribed times that we set aside for the purpose of biblical meditation. All right? So, when should we meditate? At prescribed times and throughout the day, as you get a moment. That brings us to the second question. Why should we meditate? Why should we meditate? All right, somebody? We're told to. All right? It's on in your outline, because the Bible is God's Word. Because we have the very words of the God of the universe, the God that created the universe, as ours, we should take time to ponder, to muse, to think about, to meditate on it. There is no other book. There are no other words that are more deserving of our meditation than God's Word. Nothing. Not what we have to study in school, not what we might have to study in order to do the job that we do. As important as those things might be, they are nothing of importance compared to God's Word. And so we should meditate because, and when I say meditate, you know I'm speaking of biblical meditation, always meditating on God's Word. not transcendental meditation, where you just try to clear your mind of everything and get it one with the universe. No, we're talking about pondering, musing, remembering, thinking about God's Word. Second reason why we should meditate, because God tells us to twice. All right, no. Because man's condition and needs. You and I need, we need to meditate on God's Word because we are fallen creatures. Because of the effects of the fall, Genesis 3, you and I are affected by sin. And theologians call it the noetic effects, which means our minds have been affected by the fall. It means we don't think clearly. We don't think rationally many times. And even in our rational thinking, it is flawed by our own feelings and our judgments and values. We do not think on the things of God as we should. We don't know the things of God in our own fallen state. And so because of our condition as fallen creatures, as sinful creatures, we need to have our thoughts elevated. We need to have the beneficial effects, both spiritually and I believe physically, of meditating on God's Word. I read you a quote from a Christian psychiatrist, Paul Meyer, the Meyer Institute, and I want to repeat that because I think it is worth repeating. But he said to prepare himself to be a Christian psychiatrist, he undertook college studies, an M.S. degree in human physiology. He got an M.D. degree from a medical school. He did a psychiatric residency training in two different programs. He took theological courses from two evangelical seminaries. And during those years, I was equipped with many techniques and shortcuts for bringing human beings relief from anxieties and depression and phobias and fears and insecurities and other kinds of emotional and physical pain. But this is what I want you to hear. Among the many tools I learned to use to do those things, by far, the one that has been the most valuable in helping people attain spiritual well-being is Scripture meditation. Now, here we have an MD, psychiatrist, who's trained in all the ways of medicine and science when it comes to helping people emotionally and mentally, and yet he says he has found nothing, that it is far better than anything else for spiritual well-being, and that is Scripture meditation. So we need to meditate because of who we are. That brings us to our study tonight, which we are beginning, and it will take us probably several weeks to do this, because you're going to be surprised at how many benefits there are to biblical meditation. Now, again, meditation, for those who might be listening on the internet who've not heard the previous sessions, let me just review very briefly. Meditation is to remember, to ponder, to think about, to muse over God's and His Word. Meditation, biblical meditation, does not seek to clear your mind and to simply cause a vacuum so that you might somehow get in touch with the universal mind, the cosmic mind. That is transcendental meditation. You open yourself up for Satan's attacks when you do that. Biblical meditation is you empty yourself of the things of this world, but you fill yourself with truth about God through His Word. And so the Bible and prayer are indispensable to biblical meditation. Apart from the Word of God, you cannot participate in biblical meditation, because the truth that you must meditate on has come from the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are the only way that we know truth about God. We cannot come up with truth about God through our own thinking or our own discovery. And that's, again, a lie from some teachings that you just need to get in touch with the God that is in you. That we need to just to come up with the God of our making. No, that's straight from the pit. It is a God of Scripture, the God who has revealed himself in his word. This is the God that we meditate on, the God that we ponder, that we think about. And the truths of his word, the gospel truths of redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation and sanctification and justification and all of those blessed truths are what we spend our energy, our mind's energy, thinking about, pondering, talking to the Lord about it. All right, now, the first benefit of biblical meditation. Meditation helps us focus on the triune God, to love and enjoy him in all his persons, to enjoy him intellectually as you think about him, spiritually and aesthetically. The Bible talks about the beauty of the Lord. The psalmist said, "This I have asked and thou shalt seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and meditate in his temple." And so the Lord is beautiful. Now, when we think of beauty, we tend to think of outward beauty. We tend to think of a beautiful painting or a beautiful landscape, and we mean something that is very appealing to our eyes, what we consider to be beautiful, or there are people we consider to be beautiful. But God's beauty is different than that, isn't it? Because he is not a being, he is not a physical being, he is a spiritual being, he is a spirit. And so his beauty is much deeper than a surface beauty, than something we can see with these physical eyes. But to see the beauty of the Lord is to see his magnificence, is to see his graciousness, is to see his humility, is to see his loveliness, it's to see him as he is and who he is. And he has to reveal that to us, but it is a great thing when he does reveal to you a sense of his beauty. And that is my heart's desire. That is my life's verse that I just quoted to you, that I might behold his beauty and meditate in his temple. And so meditation helps us to focus on God in his triune being, to reflect and ponder on God as God the Father, as God the Son, as God the Holy Spirit, to entertain your mind with thoughts about God. And there is a sense of relating to him in an intellectual level. But then there is a spiritual level that comes into that as well. You know, we don't only know things with our minds, but we also know through our spirit. And we tend to think we can only know things cognitively through our minds, but that's not true. We can know spiritually, and it's deep down. And maybe you have had a sense sometimes that you have sensed a truth from God that was deep in your spirit. Maybe you couldn't even put it into words yet, and it took some time for the words to come, but you had understood truth. And that is the beauty of meditating on our Lord. So that's first benefit, helps us focus on the triune God. Secondly, meditation helps increase knowledge of sacred truth. The Puritans said it takes the veil from the face of truth. It takes the veil from the face of truth. Now, the Greek word for truth is the word that has the a privative at the beginning, which means it starts with a, and that means it negates what comes after it. And the actual word for truth is not concealing. In other words, truth is revealing what is. And so meditation is the means that God uses to help us to take the veil from the face of truth. There have been times that I have been studying God's word and perhaps a certain verse that I just didn't quite grasp. I just sensed there was more to this verse than I'm getting from it. Maybe you've had that sense sometimes. And it was through meditation and pondering and thinking and musing over that verse and studying that verse and staying with God in that verse and say, God, I know there's more truth here that you want to show me, and I want to just wait on you. I want to just wait before you and just lift this verse up to you as we think about it and as I talk to you about it. And God will give deeper insights into his truth, because meditation takes the veil from the face of truth. I think we would understand so much more of God's word if we would take the time to meditate on it, and particularly those parts of scripture that we may not understand. So meditation will greatly increase your knowledge of God's truth. All right, the next thing, next benefit, is meditation is the nurse of wisdom, the Puritans used to say. For it promotes the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we all want wisdom. Wisdom is thinking like God thinks. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. Foolishness is seeing things from a human perspective. All right? When you act according to the dictates of your own flesh, you're acting foolishly. When you act according to the values and opinions and philosophies of this world system, you're acting foolishly. But when you act according to God's truth, according to a biblical worldview, then you're acting in wisdom. And so wisdom seeks to see things from God's perspective. And that's why it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because when you fear God, meaning you reverence God, it means you revere him, that you stand in awe of him, then you accept his ways as being the right ways. To fear God means you recognize he is God and you're just a human being. And so that's why fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. As long as I think I know as much as God knows, or I think that I know what's best for my life, then I'll never have wisdom, because I'll never move according to God's truth. I'll move according to what I think's right. But when I come to the place I fear God, I reverence God, I have such a holy awe for God that I know he is God and that he knows all things and that he knows what's best for my life, and therefore I seek his word to find out what he says I need to do in every situation. When he tells me how I should see situations that I look at in the world around me, then that's wisdom. And so meditation is the nurse of wisdom, because in meditation, as we meditate on God and his word, we grow in our reverence and our awe of who he is. And therefore, we accept his truth, and therefore we act in wisdom. Also, meditation enlarges our faith by helping us to trust the God of promises in all our spiritual troubles, and the God of providence in all our outward troubles. Meditation enlarges our faith. Now, you've heard me say it before, and I'll probably say it again. Meditation is what gets truth from your head into your heart. We all know many verses in our head, but we don't live them when the situation arises because they are not in our heart, meaning in our innermost being. What takes truth from your head to your innermost being is meditation. Take these promises of God that we've been looking at these past several weeks. Now, if you will take the time to meditate on those promises, they will come from your mind and enter into your innermost being, your heart, and then you will believe them, you will act on them, you will claim them. So if you're having trouble maybe believing God about something that's going on in your life, and you got verses that tell you you ought to believe God and you ought to trust God, and but some reason you just can't get through, you're just still wrestling and struggling, then I suggest you take some time to meditate on those verses that you know speak to your situation. Spend time pondering and talking to God about them and just thinking on them and letting them just muse in your mind. And you will find that your faith and trust in God and His truth will grow. It will increase. And so let me encourage you along those lines as well. All right, that brings us to our conclusion of our time together before Paul leads us in a time of prayer. And so just to recapture for you, the benefits of meditation, it helps us focus on the triune God. It increases our knowledge of sacred scripture. It is the nurse of wisdom, and it enlarges our faith by helping us trust God. All right? Any question before we end up? Any question? Which one?